Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass with Lee Cantor in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you this morning, Lee?
I am doing pretty good. I love the summer. How was your holiday?
The holidays were great, and it's certainly going to be summer today and tomorrow in Atlanta, Georgia. For those that are unaware, we're approaching 98 degrees with 90% humidity. It's not going to be
just
pleasant.
The way I like it.
Yeah, it's not going to be pleasant. Also joining us this morning is Brad Culp in Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well. How are things in Texas?
Things are fine in Texas. I did enjoy the absolutely delightful weather in Atlanta over the weekend, though. It was good to be home and see my family. But I'm back here now, and it sounds like it's hot in both places, so there you go.
Yeah, it's
this morning, we've got not a ton of trivia, but this is kind of the trivia of trivia. In 1928, today, sliced bread was introduced by the Chillicothe Bakery Company in Chillicothe, Missouri. And, you know, we've got the saying, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Apparently, the saying up to that point and in regards to sliced bread was it was the greatest step forward in the baking industry since bread was wrapped. So not sure what the thing with bread and innovation is, but
The show's the best thing since sliced bread.
Since wrapped bread.
The best thing since sliced bread. There you go.
Yeah.
And they couldn't say that until 1928. So, just following from last week, just a small bit of World Cup trivia. Germany is still in it in the World Cup, and I think they're. Well, I'm not even going to say who I think they're going to play because I can't. Seem to find that, but in 1974 on this date, West Germany actually won the World Cup. So, and the last bit of trivia I have to segue into the show is that Ringo Starr is 70 today, so he's definitely getting up to the point where he'll need senior services.
That makes me feel old.
Yeah, doesn't it?
70.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Sam had a Ringo Starr lunchbox growing up.
You laugh. I was close.
Well, let's get on with it then. We have Lisa Egan with us here in Dallas this morning. Lisa is the president of Wise Group Financial Services. And good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your program.
Lisa, if we could just start out by getting you to give us a little personal background, you know, where'd you go to school and what was it that led you to be where you are today in your business?
Well, that's a long story. Well, I'll try to be succinct. I actually got started as a psychotherapist, so I was a licensed professional counselor, still am in the state of Texas, but I had worked with a lot of women and in terms of life change kinds of issues. So found out that a lot of women have very good business ideas, just don't know how to implement them. So I started a Wise Women radio program, sort of an entrepreneurial role model kind of program here in Dallas on KEOM. And that ran for 3 years. And it was an evolutionary process for me as well. So I went from there to a career in insurance and financial services, which brought me to establishing my own agency called Wise Group Insurance and Financial Services. We're located here in Dallas, Texas on Turtle Creek Boulevard. We operate based on a team approach, which is very unique, and we have several divisions with a senior focus, and that's part of what brings me here.
So you didn't start out to provide financial services to the senior community. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how did you end up deciding to at least focus part of your business on seniors?
Well, I am passionate about long-term care. I believe in it deeply. I know that most people we don't learn about long-term care. The statistics show us that two-thirds of the population are going to need long-term care and are not insured, are not protecting themselves in that way. And it's really about protecting the assets that you've saved for retirement. So I have my own insurance policy, my own long-term care policy, and my own mother needed long-term care insurance but didn't approach it in time to be able to qualify for it. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what calls me, because I know the cost and I know the weight and sometimes the burden that it is for loved ones and caregivers to try to step in and fill those gaps. We just don't live in a world today like we used to when we were could provide those services with a little greater ease and flexibility. So long-term care insurance fills that need, and the policies today are written to today's market, and they cover so many very valuable and needed services. So one of my missions in my life is to make sure, is ring the alarm bell and make sure that people are paying attention or aware and review their needs for long-term care. I call it long-term living insurance.
Long-term living, yeah. So tell us, I heard you say that you have several aspects of your firm that focus on caring for seniors or providing services for seniors. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Sure. We have long-term care division, Medicare products, and then life insurance and fixed annuities. I believe that we're the only agency that I'm aware of in the North Texas area that has a full line of Medicare products, which means all the Medicare supplements as well as Medicare Advantage plans. We are going to be able to find you the plan that you need and that's best suited for your situation. And then fixed annuities, which are, of course, an insurance product. We help seniors by educating them about health insurance choices and other financial options available, for instance, how to generate a lifetime income stream. That would be through a fixed annuity. Most people in their retirement years want to know that they won't outlive their savings.
And that's changing, isn't it? Because if somebody, and I may be putting you on the spot here, but if somebody is 70 years old today and healthy, how much longer might they expect to live?
Oh, well, we have to look at the mortality tables based on gender and all of that kind of thing. But you're going to, for men, I really wouldn't want to quote the statistic, but you're going to be looking at about 10 more years.
And for every year that they continue on healthy, then it's going to extend the expectancy. And people are living much longer than they ever expected to.
Yes, and they're living longer with some chronic health conditions. If we think of diabetes or heart disease, things that we just generally experience, and so the costs are going to go on a more long-term basis because we're living longer. And the more cost you have, then the more it depletes your own funds.
How do people find you? If somebody, how do you typically meet a client for the first time, and how does a conversation go when you're talking to somebody, maybe a couple in their 60s that's looking for advice?
We get referrals from many different places. We're very active in the community through different chambers and senior organizations, and then through client referrals. So and the different carriers that we work with on the Medicare product side, too. So when we sit down and talk with someone, we also have a website. We do marketing. You can find it, hopefully, and through this radio program, that would also be helpful. So when I sit down with someone, I'm also securities licensed, and I will be doing a checkup with you. So we have a process. I'm going to learn about you, your situation, what your long-term goals are, what your current present financial situation is, where are the gaps, where are you headed, what's missing, and then provide options for you. So particularly for me, and because I look down the road at the future and because I am aware of what long-term care is going to provide for you, I want to make sure that all of those protections are in place. Many people in my field don't necessarily look that closely or carefully or don't have their own awareness about long-term care insurance and so often don't include it in someone's overall plan. Mm.
So when somebody first comes in, I saw that you do education, and it seems like education is a big part of what you do. Talk a little bit about how you educate and what are you educating your current potential clients on.
Well, we'll just focus on seniors at the moment. What we do is educate them about their health insurance choices and options that are available. We want to make sure that we stay current about the situation that we are living in right now. There have been some significant changes in Medicare that took effect, for instance, June the 1st, and we anticipate more to come through health care reform. But we serve our senior market by ensuring that our clients remain in the plan that's best suited for them. So we have educational events that we host in many different places, but it could be a community center, a retirement community, or different senior groups that you're involved in, where we're going to provide an overview, a broad overview, if we're just talking about Medicare, a broad overview of the Medicare system and then the options that are available under Medicare. So you can also call us. We can be happy to take the information and help you negotiate or navigate through those options. We can schedule a time to come in, or we can come to you. Those are also available options.
So you said that there were a number of changes that took place on June 1st. What are some of the more significant changes that took place with Medicare just recently?
Well, they included some of the services that were covered under specific Medicare supplement plans. They added them, for instance, to the core original Medicare. So some of the Medicare supplement plans have gone away, for instance, and the benefits in the core plans have changed. They're going to be making some changes or proposed changes to the annual enrollment period or open enrollment period. So I really don't want to speak ahead of that because legislation can change at any time.
Sure.
All we need to let people know is that there have been some changes, and we can feel call us or sit down with us, and we'll help you understand what those changes are.
Do things change on a year-to-year basis? I mean, have we seen changes every year, or are changes now more forthcoming because of the new health care legislation?
I think that change is constant, especially when you're talking about a benefit that is funded by the government, and there have been major changes in Medicare over the years, and there will continue to be because it's taxpayer funded, and we want to make sure all of us as a people and as a nation that it serves our senior population, that their needs are covered, and that we're able to support it.
I guess where I was going with that is it seems to me that it would be a good idea for seniors to be checking with their financial advisors on an annual basis about this because of the changes. Nobody can really navigate this stuff by themselves. The documents are way too thick and complex for that.
Yes, so one of the questions that we often get is how can a senior learn about their Medicare options? And the truth is that it's very time-consuming, often overwhelming, and the regulations around it are constraining. So we do our best, and that's why we provide the educational seminars. They take about an hour. They're conducted by a Wise Group Medicare associate. We don't necessarily discuss specific plan information pertaining to Medicare supplements or Medicare Advantage plans, again, because there are rules about that. But what we do is provide a broad overview of the Medicare system and the options that you have under it. What the participants leave with is a much better idea of what they need in a health insurance plan and then what's available under Medicare. So we can follow up with them and go through their situation, help them enroll in a plan if they want to do that. We can talk with them about any of the special needs that they have. And we talked about having enrollment periods. And people often say, when can I enroll in Medicare? Well, generally, there's a fixed period. It's called an annual enrollment period. And generally speaking, you're eligible for Medicare 3 months before you turn 65. But then there are exceptions. So if you, for instance, receive Medicaid or you have a qualifying chronic health condition, if you're recently moving into the area, then those rules don't necessarily apply to you. So you could, you know, choose a plan or change a plan at any time under those circumstances. So again, if you have a diabetes or another kind of qualifying chronic health condition, then and or if you receive Medicaid as well, then you can change a plan at any time. So people need to know that.
Right.
And then the next thing we also get asked is, how can I, or are there resources available to help me pay for my prescriptions? Well, yes, there are options available, and they range from the low-income subsidy to different plans that cover drug coverage. Some plans even cover vitamins and health supplements. Mm-hmm. So it's just we need to be able to talk with you, learn more about you, what is your situation, what do you need in your health insurance, and then find the coverage that's available in your area. As far as the low-income subsidy, we'll do everything that we can to help a senior apply for the low-income subsidy if they're eligible so they can get the coverage that they need.
And you mentioned Medicare Supplemental and Medicare Advantage. What's the difference between those two?
Well, a Medicare Supplement is part of original Medicare. A Medicare Advantage plan is a private health insurance company.
Okay. And how would somebody decide which of those is right for them?
Well, again, that's where we come in, and we would want to review all of those options with you. You can go to Medicare.gov, always, call 1-800-MEDICARE, and ask those questions as well.
So it's not a cut-and-dried scenario that, you know, one's better than the other. It's going to be based on an individual's circumstances?
Or? It really is, because the plans are different. They cover different things or services. They may have different co-pays, deductibles. Some may have none. There are plans that don't offer drug coverage in terms of Medicare Advantage plans. And it's also going to depend on where you live, because certain plans are offered in your coverage area by county, and some may not. So, again, if you go to Medicare.gov, then they will have a comparison in your area of the plans that are available.
Okay. Lisa, tell me again, how long has the WISE Group been around? How long have you been doing it?
We've been an agency for about 3 years.
3 years, mm-hmm. Okay. So in 3 years, I'm sure that you've seen some good times. You've seen challenges. What is it that makes you keep doing what you do? Is there something that recharges your batteries about your job?
It's helping people, really. When you're able to get people either insurance coverage that is very valuable to us, whether it's health insurance or life insurance, or you're helping them secure their future financially so that they don't worry, or you're helping them with long-term care insurance, once you get those things in place in your life, it provides a certain ease of your spirit. You kind of relax and go, that's taken care of. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's very good. It's a very good feeling.
Yeah. For those who are just beginning to, you know, maybe people that are 63, 64, looking at becoming eligible for Medicare and the various programs, what piece of advice would you give to them as they start to think through what comes next with respect to their health insurance?
One, I always want to make sure that people have at least looked at long-term care insurance. Sometimes it's offered through your employer, and that's perhaps for the best way to do it sometimes, because if you're getting it as a group benefit, then you can, not always, but you check with your employer plan, it could be issued at a simplified issue or guaranteed issue, which will help you overcome any health challenges that you might be experiencing in terms of obtaining a policy. So I would say always look at long-term care insurance. And then in terms of the health insurance, make sure that you have addressed all of the components of health insurance that you need, whether it's hospital, your physician visit, and your prescription drug costs. But what I was going to say a minute ago is, where are you most of the time? Because as we retire, we tend to travel and or have second homes or vacation homes or spend part of the year with our children.
Right.
So make sure that the coverage that you have, you can obtain it no matter where you are.
That's probably something a lot of people don't think of, particularly if they're going to be traveling out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's great advice. Lisa, we're winding up our time here. If our listeners want to contact you or your company, how would they do that?
Call us, 214-272-8914. And you can also find us on the web. It's wisegroupinsurance.com. Our email addresses are listed on the web as well. And again, the telephone number is 214-272-8914. And we'll be happy to come out and schedule a presentation for you. Just give us a call.
Terrific. Well, Lisa, thanks for being here with us this morning. And I'm going to turn it back to you, Sam, in Atlanta.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Lisa. That's great information. We very much appreciate you being our guest.
Thank you.
With me today in the Atlanta studio, I have two guests. We have Deanna Gillum, who is the founder and owner of Time in a Bottle. Good morning, Deanna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
And also joining us is Diane Scott. Diane is a RN with Compassionate Care Hospice. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Sam.
I'm going to begin with Deanna. You have a unique story, a unique business. I know you've in a former life. So what I want to do is have you tell us a little bit of your background, where you're from, and then how did you get involved in this organization called Time in a Bottle?
All right. Well, thank you for having me today. It is an honor. And just as background information, I worked as a surgical technologist for 7 years, specializing in eye surgery. And from there, I grew a love for the older adult population because that was our mainstay, doing cataract surgery and whatnot. So from that, a love grew, and I knew for the rest of my life that I wanted to work for and with older adults. So I did get my bachelor's degree from Georgia State in sociology with a concentration in gerontology. And from there, I got a job at 60-plus at Piedmont Hospital and worked as a geriatric specialist for 6 years. I loved it. It was wonderful. But I wanted to become a stay-at-home mom. So from there, I really wanted to create a business that I could do from home. Over time, just came up with the idea of Time in a Bottle.
Well, before we go further, first of all, let me speak to our listeners and tell them that Deanna is a relatively new mother, so congratulations. She has how old is your daughter?
She's 11 months
11
old.
Months, okay. Mm-hmm. So we know that that is occupying the majority
yes.
of your time. Before we go to Time in a Bottle, speak briefly about 60 plus. Mm-hmm. That's where I first met you, so tell our listeners a little bit of what that organization is and what they do.
I would be glad to. 60 Plus is a wonderful organization. It is the older adult department for Piedmont Hospital. They've been around for over 20 years. It's headed by Nancy Morrison. She is a passionate person for the older adult population and has made so many strides. And so it's comprised of social workers. There's also a Medicare specialist who works there. They are really on the cutting edge of all issues regarding older adults and health care. They have a helpline that is crucial to a lot of older adults and their family members within the Atlanta area. You can just call and receive free information. The social workers are an enormous help to so many families who, you know, just need some guidance as to how to maneuver through all of the services available to older adults.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I hope Piedmont appreciates the free plug. So let's move on to where you are now. You are the founder and owner of Time in a Bottle. So the simple question is, tell us what that is.
Okay, Time in a Bottle is basically what I do. I capture the life history of older adults through video and photography. I sit down with the older adult, kind of get to know them, interview them a little bit before the initial videotaping, and then just get to know their story. And then when we sit down for the actual recording, I will ask them questions all about their life history. It could be anything. Where were you born? Tell me about your childhood. What kind of holidays were special to you as a child? Where you went to school? Then as they grow up, you know, where tell me about the life that you had, your parents. What was your family life like? How did you fall in love and get married? Tell me your love story. All kinds of things. Anything that really matters to their family members that they would want to pass down. Any story that is important to them that really is a part of their history. So what I do with that information, I compile it with their vintage photographs and put it together in a DVD format and present that to them and to their family members so that they can pass that down and be available for even family members who were not even born yet, so that they can see, you know, years down the road, this was your great-grandfather. You know, I know you didn't know him, but this is him, and this is his life story. And you know, it's really your history as well.
You know, there's several things that I want to comment on. There's too many right now to get into. One of the things I want to mention, though, is that you offer five distinct levels of service, if that's the proper way of portraying that. One of them is called generational portraits. And what I want to do is I want to read from a little brochure that you have concerning generational portraits. It says, Abraham Lincoln once said, "In the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years," unquote. Your family stands as a testimony to who you are. That is a great transition into what you do and why you do it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that with this service and this company, you hear some fantastic stories. Yeah. Is there one you could just give tell our listeners about?
There's so many. I was able to capture the life history of my husband's grandfather before he passed away just recently. So that in and of itself was wonderful. And I was able to compile the DVD and give it to all of his family members. But he talked about his World War II stories. And my husband told me that, you know, he was a very quiet person, that he wouldn't share those stories on a normal basis. But for this video, he just kind of opened up and talked actually more about his war experience more than his life experience. So that in and of itself was rewarding for me and for my husband as well.
You are so right on the point when you say that it is a snapshot of who you are. Personal story, my children, one's 18, one's 14, did not know their grandfather, their maternal grandfather on the mother's side. He died when he was very young, in his late 50s. They never knew him. About a month ago, one of their uncles got hold of some 16-millimeter film of him water skiing in 1964.
Oh, wow.
And it was he and his best friends and a couple of family members, and he burnt that to a DVD. It's the first time they had seen, short of still photographs, their maternal grandfather, and it just opened up a whole new world for them.
Deanna, who purchases this typically? Is it the actual senior, or is it the family, and then they do it and kind of make the senior do this?
A lot of times it is the family members who see the importance and the significance
of it. Of having that history.
Yes, definitely. The older adult is sometimes wary, you know, what do I have to give, things like that.
Like they don't think it's worth
important.
Important enough to actually kind of... record.
Exactly. But the family
wants to capture this.
Yes, the adult children, even the grandchildren, see that they want to capture this before anything happens.
Obviously, as I said, you've got some great stories. Why do you do this? What is it that excites you about what you're doing?
Well, I'm passionate about photography and older adults. So anybody that I'm helping, if I'm taking pictures of three different generations, or if I'm helping someone's scrapbook or listening to someone's life story, I feel like I am helping to preserve that little piece of history for that family so that that will in turn last forever.
Now, does this service, do your services, are they exclusive to the seniors, or is there another market that you can access?
Are you trying to get one done for yourself, Sam? Is that what this is about?
I'm a senior. I fall into the first category.
No, I offer several different types of services. The life histories are available to older adults, but also to anyone who wishes to tell their story. My father is a heart transplant recipient, so I was able to capture his story and chronicle what happened on video. So that's very important. But I also offer scrapbooking services, photo books, vintage photo albums. I help people to organize those old photos that have been in the closet for years and you never get them out. I can help to organize those so that you can and be encouraged to get them out and look through them. So there's all kinds of different services that I offer, along the whole age spectrum.
Yeah, I could use that services. My wife has, I know, 3 file boxes full of still photos, and you know, we never get them out because there's so many of them. You can't wade through the numbers,
and also they can be destroyed, right? Those photographs, the older photographs, can't they deteriorate
over time? They get the color, the paper itself can disintegrate, and just so it's time now to preserve those and put those in scrapbooks. And we can even do them, scan them in, and I can make a photo montage so that
DVD?
The digital version, yes, the digital
is that the
version
safest thing to save them on DVD?
I would say so. Of course, you always love the paper version, but they're not going to be around forever. So if you want to save them forever, then do it to DVD.
I'm going to ask a question. It's probably going to take you by surprise. And Lee, I want you to comment on this. You might know. We know that technology, there's new media is coming along all the time. And right now, it's DVD and electronic. What's the next generation? Anyone got any idea there?
I would think it would be the cloud computing, where you're putting it on a server on the internet and then it's saved there.
So it's out on someone's server.
Right.
You lose the personal touch there. That's,
Well, you can still access it whenever you want.
I guess you can access and download it and print it if that's what you want to do, right? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because even DVDs, I'm sure, can deteriorate over time.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Deanna, tell us, we know that you love the photography side of it. You love the idea that you're working with seniors. Why don't you tell our listening audience, what are some of the general services besides this generational portraits, and what are some of the other services that you offer?
Well, of course, the life history, that's the big one. I do photography services. I've done senior portraits, baby photos, children's pictures, anything. I also, have done still photos for jewelry, any type of retail product, things like that. So photography services of all kinds, that's a large one as well. Photo books, a lot of people have tons of digital images on their cameras, and they rarely get the chance to download them. Instead of downloading them, I can take those digital images and put them into a photo book to where they never have to be printed off. So that's another service. And the vintage photo albums, I can help not only to organize those old vintage photographs, but I can put them in an album to where they're preserved.
Now, how do you deal with somebody who is, I know that sometimes we get people in here that are a little uncomfortable being recorded. And I would imagine video takes that up to another level. And especially somebody, obviously these aren't professional mm-hmm. people, so that they're not used to being on camera at all. And how do you kind of help them get comfortable so that they can really share the story? And you're probably trying to want to get those more poignant moments mm-hmm. Out from them. Do you just have a knack for that? Or are you the one doing the interviewing? Or is
I
another?
Am. It's all me. It's so, all me.
So is there ever a situation where, like, you have the, you know, maybe the father interviewing the grandfather or the son, like, do you create that kind of a roundtable environment, or is it one person at a time, or it varies?
It's generally me, and the pre-interview is helpful in that they can get a little bit of time with me alone, and we will get comfortable with each other.
Get some rapport,
yes,
right.
Yes, and so I also will give them a handout. You know, these are some questions to just
right.
be thinking about ahead of time.
Right.
So when it comes to the actual recording, they're looking at me. They're not looking into the camera.
Right.
So it's essentially they just kind of forget, you know, that the camera's there. And it is. It's much like this setting. It's a conversational setting because I go back and I edit. I do a lot of video editing.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a conversational, comfortable setting. And they're usually in their home. So we want to make it as comfortable as possible.
Right.
I just mainly have maybe one light, depending on the lighting situation, so that, you know, they're not put off guard.
Right. And then when do you ask them that really embarrassing question from their high school? that never happens, right?
No.
Deanna, for our listeners who might be, like I am, called a sandwich generation that have older parents or parents that are should be in that age group and young children, and they want to do something for the future, so the testament to who they are, or what their parents are. What's the one piece of advice you could give that individual?
I would say, get them to go through those photographs and tell you who's in that. What's the story behind this picture? Because that's their life story.
Yeah.
So the pictures, my grandmother died from Alzheimer's disease. But before she did that, before she really started going downhill, we were able to capture a lot of that information. We would go through, get her recipes. We got, you know, her to talk about the pictures and everything. And just it's priceless information that I can hand down to my daughter.
Yeah.
And she can pass down to hers as well.
Again, our listeners know I love telling my personal stories. My mother and father, 20 years ago, I was living in Cleveland, Ohio, and they came to visit. I had a three-hour drive with them, just my mother and father in the car. We had life history on my mother's side. I have a cousin who's done that extensively, but not much on my father's side. And for 3 hours, all we did is talk as my mother talked and asked my dad questions about his family and wrote that stuff down. I have 6 yellow page legal tablet pages of information from my father's side that my mother hand wrote. And
wow.
you think my children look at that and they feel they mm-hmm. get an identity of who they are. It's
right.
It's a great piece. It is fabulous.
This takes that to a whole other level.
Oh, absolutely. And it was simple. You know, mm-hmm. I got in the car. I said, Mom, get this tablet out and let me start asking Dad questions and you write this stuff down.
Right.
Now I not only have a legacy from my father's side, but it's in my mother's handwriting.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Priceless.
For our listeners, Deanna, who might want to contact you, won't you give them your contact information and how they can do that?
Sure. It's easy to contact me. My phone number is 770-363-5544, and my website is listentomytale.com.
Well, we certainly appreciate this. This is a great subject to be speaking of. I certainly hope many, many listeners take advantage of the service.
Thank you very much for having
me. Thanks for being on the show. Our next guest is Diane Scott. Diane is a registered nurse, and she is the hospice liaison for Compassionate Care Hospice. Good morning. How are you, Diane?
Good morning, Sam. Doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Let's begin by, as we always do, and why don't you give our listeners a little indication of a little bit of your background and who you are and whatnot.
Thank you very much. Well, I am a proud Memphian. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. I still have family there. I did live many years in Southeast Florida. In fact, I was educated both in Palm Beach County and in Miami. I became a registered nurse in 1975. And most of my career has been dedicated to caring for seniors, primarily in the home health and hospice settings.
Tell us now how you either made the conscious decision to move into the senior market, or how did you get into that position?
Well, the population in Southeast Florida, the demographics there.
You're almost there by default.
Yes. That's right. That's correct. Yeah. I think the average age might be 90, you know, in Southeast Florida. So, and I just love seniors. And listening to Deanna this morning reminded me, you know, of my grandparents and great grandparents I was fortunate enough to know. And in the bigger community, if you will, outside of your family, the wonderful people that you meet, both in your neighborhood and church settings and civic clubs. And each one has a story to tell, and they are endearing. And so it was a love and a passion, as well as a default by demographics.
Tell us about Compassionate Care Hospice. Tell us the uniqueness of that organization. Why are you there? And what are some of the differentiators that it may have?
Thank you, Sam. Well, I was really fortunate to be recruited by them earlier this year from Florida. I had, as I mentioned, worked in the home health setting and also the hospice settings in Florida. And believe it or not, a former childhood friend and classmate, both in high school and in college, recruited me to come to work for them. And so I relocated to Atlanta in February and began working for them as a liaison to the medical community as well as the non-medical community at large.
Describe for our audience what a liaison is.
It's just a fancy French word for I'm your girl.
Yeah. I'm a relationship guy.
Yeah. I help to facilitate referrals from the medical community, from hospitals such as Deanna mentioned, Piedmont, Northside, St. Joe's, Emory, DeKalb, et cetera, up and down Peachtree, if you will, to hospice care. I also receive referrals from physician offices, and we receive referrals from assisted living facilities and personal care homes also, and from churches, civic organizations, and the non-medical community at large. Anyone can make a referral to hospice.
Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception that a lay person has about hospice?
That it indicates we're giving up. Mm-hmm. And when in fact, we're doing quite the opposite. Our goal is to enhance the days that are left for our patients.
So in when a person comes to you, do you find that a lot of people aren't even aware of hospice as a choice?
Yes, that's true. And more importantly, I've never had anyone say that they were sorry that they went on hospice care, but rather that they regretted not doing it sooner.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work? Like, is it who makes the call to engage with hospice? Is it something the doctor says, look, it's time for hospice? Or is it something that the family says, you know, what about hospice? Like, what's the path to get to hospice?
It can come in various paths, Lee. That's a great question. Anyone can make a referral. And if you feel that your loved one is nearing the end of their life, then you can certainly make a phone call and ask for an information visit. And that's where I come in.
Right. Now, but is it something like, you know, it's not like people come with expiration dates so that, you know, like, oh, he's at the nearing the end of his life.
Right.
So how does that, How does it work for the, so you're the family member, you're in a situation, is there something that happens where they go, okay, now it's time for hospice, we've done all we can do, like is there some trigger that the doctor can give you some advice?
Great question. Usually you see things like repeated admissions to hospital,
mm-hmm.
multiple phone calls to the physician's office, chronic illnesses, chronic symptoms coming up over and over and
right.
over. And you get to the point where the quality of life is no longer there. And we do need a physician's order
right.
to institute care, but anyone can pick up the phone and call.
And hospice is not necessarily something that lasts days, right? It could last no. years, can't it?
That's correct, yes. We have patients who've been on service for a couple of years. In fact, a few weeks ago, I played the piano for one of our patients who turned 101 at her assisted living facility, and we have been caring for her for 2 years. So
hospice can take place in the assisted living. It can take place in an actual hospice, but it can also take place in a home, right?
That's correct. Wherever the patient lives. In fact, we also take care of patients in the hospitals sometimes. That's required that they stay there, and the beds then are designated as hospice beds, if you will. But wherever the patient is living, that's where we go.
Now, in the hospice setting, like is your place an actual setting where people come?
Great question. We actually have contracts with 4 facilities in the metro Atlanta area mm-hmm. if patients need to be inpatient, if you will, in
right.
an inpatient setting. However, almost anything that you could do in the hospital, we can do at home.
So what would it be like if I had a loved one in my house in kind of this hospice now environment? Do I have to change my house dramatically? Like what does that look like?
Great question. The majority of patients prefer to spend the end of their life in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to make it as comfortable as possible. And that can manifest itself in multiple ways. Some people want to stay in their own bed, and they're able to, and we can care for them that way. Sometimes additional durable medical equipment is required, and like a hospital bed or wheelchairs
right.
or bedside commodes.
But do you help facilitate that?
We do, absolutely. That's part of our role, and it is a benefit that's covered under hospice.
Wow.
I think one of the things that our listeners should grab hold of is one of the beautiful things about hospice and hospice organizations is they become the go-to people, as you just indicated. If there is a need for the client, it's not the son or daughter or wife or husband who has to go out and make that happen. They simply contact the hospice, and it becomes your baby at that point.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we do develop wonderful relationships with our families and their patients. Our chaplains are amazing. Our social workers, our nurses, they're the real angels. They're the ones in the trenches giving the day-to-day care. And oftentimes we are asked to participate after the death in a memorial service mm-hmm. or funeral. And we're honored to be a part of that.
Diane, obviously, you are involved in usually a period of life that can be very stressful,
mm-hmm.
Full of ups and downs as far mm-hmm. as the swings of the health mm-hmm. of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that keeps you going? Why do you keep, I mean, you've been here for how many years? What keeps you going?
You know, I'll share a little story with you. The other day, I went to St. Joe's Hospital and met with a family. A large, loving family, and their 83-year-old mother had become ill very suddenly, unexpectedly, but it was very apparent that she would not survive with a natural course of things. And it was a privilege, I mean that sincerely, to sit with that family, to learn about them and their love and their devotion to their mother, and to meet them where they were emotionally, psychologically, and help to bring them where they needed to be. And I drove away from there when they asked that we would be the company, Compassionate Care Hospice, would take care of their mother. I walked away thinking, does it get any sweeter than this? What an honor, what a privilege to spend the last few days of someone's life with their family, in their home, and helping to make it as good as it can be.
I don't think you're very passionate about what you do. I say that tongue in cheek. Is there any cause that you personally are associated with, or Compassionate Care Hospice associated with, that you'd like to speak to, any unique cause organization?
Thank you very much. Well, we do have a foundation, and oftentimes families are wanting to donate, you know, after their loved one has passed away. So that's always an option. I am a member of Peachtree Rotary Club and past president of another club in Florida, and got the T-shirt to prove it. We won't talk about the scars on my back. But Rotary is a phenomenal organization, international organization, and they obviously donate a great deal of service time and money, both locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally. So it is certainly a passion of mine.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. For our audience at that high level who might have a loved one who, whether they believe it or not, may need your services, what is one piece of advice that you could give these individuals as they start this process?
Pick up the phone and call now, not later.
That's great. The number of resources out there is overwhelming. If people do have no comprehension of what is available, but they have to be willing to ask questions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to come and knock on your door, but you've got to open the door, and it's there. So that's a great piece.
Right. I think you said it best, where it's not one of those things where people regret calling too late. They're always regretting not calling early enough.
Correct. Correct. And the sooner that we admit them to our services, the more services and benefits that we can provide for them.
Right.
And again, just to remind our listeners, it's not about the end of life. It's about, as you say, the continuation of life. And again, how many times have I said it? My father, basically 5 years on hospice and lived high quality life. So I can speak personally to that. For our listeners, Diane, that might want to reach you or contact Compassionate Care Hospice, how can they do that?
Our office telephone number is area code 770-220-2723. I do carry a cell phone with me at all times. I've got it turned off right now, but it's with me. And that number is area code 772-486-4343. And believe it or not, I text. Isn't that impressive? You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Well, I'm in that same doghouse, so I understand.
Is there a website?
There is. Thank you very, very much. It's www.cchnet.net.
Well, Diane, we certainly appreciate what you do. We appreciate the passion that you bring to the table, and we thank you for being our guest.
My joy.
Thank you very much. Deanna, thank you again for being on our show, and I love the ideas of what you're doing, and if we can be of any further help, you let us know, too.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for today. I want to thank our guests once again for being with us. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. And I want to remind our listeners that if they wish to listen to a recording of today's broadcast, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation are its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of our nation is its greatest national treasure. That's it for today. God bless. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.